Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah, the home of liberal religion in the hostess city. I'm Gigi Kelly Regalizio, and I will serve as worship associate today. We have a guest speaker today, Tegan Miller. Tegan Miller is a highly sought after conductor, educator, and multi-genre performer. She founded MTC Vocal Academy and is the founding artistic director of Spectra Choir, a feminist treble choir dedicated to amplifying underrepresented voices. She is passionate about student-led, science-driven, journey-focused singing and has taught voice and directed choirs for 20-plus years. Are we allowed to say that? Okay. She won the People's Choice Award at the 2020 American Traditions Competition, performs with HHSO, is a section leader at Christ Church Episcopal, and can sometimes be found making up silly songs at Front Porch Improv. She holds music degrees from the University of Kentucky and Simpson College, study at Juilliard, and EAMA in Paris, and has a certification in vocal pedagogy with Dr. Shannon Coates. Whew, pretty impressive. Our worship religious education and covenant group theme for June is Flourishing Together. Susan Daggett is sharing our Love at the Center moment today. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you on YouTube and on site, whoever you know yourself to be and wherever you are in your journey. As part of our commitment to accessibility, we use microphones whenever anyone speaks so that everyone in the sanctuary and on YouTube can hear. If you are visiting with us this morning and you would like to introduce yourself, please rise or raise your hand, and Mary, our usher, will bring a microphone. Are there any visitors on this side of the sanctuary? Okay. Any visitors on this side of the sanctuary? All righty. If you're visiting with us this morning, and you would like to... Sorry. If you are looking for a new faith community, we encourage you to visit several times to get a feel for our worship style and our approach to matters of faith and religion. It's good to have you all with us. Please join us in Ron Hall for refreshments following the service. You'll find Ron Hall in the next building by following the crowd through this door here, or out the front and around the corner, or you can ask an usher. There are two cards in the pew backs in front of you. And I can only find one of them under here. Sorry. We have this card here that you can share a joy or sorrow by filling it out, legibly please, and putting it in our collection plate when it comes around. There's another one with a rainbow chalice that if you fill that out, thank you, it's yellow with the rainbow chalice, and if you fill that one out, that's for information, it's for a newsletter that we receive on Tuesdays and Thursdays with announcements. Fridays, I'm sorry. What are Tuesdays and Thursdays? Okay, never mind. Okay, did I get everything on that? Okay. After the story for all ages and the offering, we sing short responses. The lyrics are printed in the order of service. Church announcements are emailed. Oh, there it comes again. To members and friends on Tuesdays and Fridays, check your email for complete details about the following. Reverend Lisa will be returning to the office this Thursday, June 16th, to Lisa on the Loose this Thursday, June 18th, and back in the pulpit next Sunday, June 21st. On June 27th, we have our Beatles concert and tie-dye workshop, All You Need Is Love. Becker and company have been practicing and preparing for a groovy afternoon of peace, love, and community. The magical, mystical sing-along concert begins on June 27th at 2:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary, and tickets are just $15. For extra add-on fun, arrive early for our psychedelic tie-dye workshop. Tickets for the concert and the tie-dye workshop are available at, well, what is it? It's in your order of service, I believe. Okay. Or you can contact Becca with any questions at music@uusavannah.org. Nice. With the lighting of our chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. Our chalice lighter this morning is Susanna Bleakley. And our chalice lighting words are from Reverend Scott Taylor, beautifully bound. Notice now this flame, seemingly so singular. I am so sorry. Seemingly so singular, dancing all alone, yet pull back, look with more attentive eyes, and slowly the chalice cup comes into view. And the air that, while unseen, keeps the flame alive, all of it is a reminder that being lovingly surrounded and beautifully bound is what sets us free and allows us to flourish. May this be the gift of this precious hour. May we too pull back and see ourselves anew, how tenderly tethered we are, and how wonderfully that sets us free.
I'm going to move this back. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad to be here. I thought I would start out today beginning like we begin our choir rehearsals. So if you are willing and able to stand for a few moments. And if you feel so comfortable, you can close your eyes and kind of slow down your breathing. In and out, nice and slow, just noticing how the breath moves through your body. You go from getting here to being here. And set your intention for today's service for yourself. What does that look like for you so you can walk out of here feeling just a little bit lighter than when you walked in? Thank your body for bringing you here today and sustaining you through this world. And can your next breath just be a little bit slower, a little bit more intentional, calming the body, thanking the body, loving the body. Welcome.
You can remain standing in body or spirit. For opening hymn number 295, sing out praises for the journey.
Good morning. I'm Susan Daggett. I've been a member of this church since about 2008, and I haven't been able to get to services very often recently, but I wanted to share my Love at a Center moment. When I lived on campus at a small college directly after high school, I worked in the cafeteria dishwashing room for about 2 hours every morning. My main coworker was a young man who was, not uncommonly for young men on the cusp of adulthood, kind of screwed up. He was immature, irresponsible, and I alternated between being angry with him and laughing raucously with him. One night, I couldn't sleep, and so I was roaming around the small campus. I don't know why, but I snuck into his dorm room and quietly woke and seduced him. The next day, he asked me why I'd done that. I shrugged and said that I loved him. He began sputtering about not loving me, and I realized that he thought I meant romantically. I had no romantic interest in him. What I loved was the texture that he brought to my daily life, that is alternatively exasperating and entertaining behavior brought. I had no desire to repeat the seduction, nor to see him outside working hours. This is the first time I remember being flummoxed by the English language only having one word for love. It has happened many times since then. Now, we all know intuitively that I love pizza, I love my dog, and I love my partner are different in what they mean. But there are other cases, as I have just described, where more nuanced words are needed. The ancient Greeks identified several kinds of love. I found 10 when I did a quick internet search. As I list them, please try to identify one or a combination that best describes what I meant when I told my coworker I loved him. I apologize for any mispronunciations. 1, eros, sexual desire. 2, philia, soul connection. 3, storge, devoted love. 4, pragma, mature love. 5, ludus, playful love. 6, mania, obsessive love. 7, from the modern Greek, is meraki, creative endeavors. 8, philosia, self-love. Agape, unconditional love. And xenia, hospitality towards strangers. My take is that I experienced 3 of them. Agape, i.e. love for him simply as a human being. Ludus, or playful love, because of the fun we had when he wasn't being a complete pain in the ass. And obviously, there was a touch of eros on that particular sleepless night. I have struggled with explaining myself many times over the years, especially with men. Men whose company I enjoy and value, but don't want to take in a manic direction, a romantic direction, sometimes misunderstand my obvious enjoyment of their company, even when I don't use the word love to describe how I feel about them. Another aspect of our limited vocabulary is that having a large and nuanced vocabulary helps us to focus our thoughts and feelings. Having only one word for love can leave us a little bit confused when we start to feel warmth, especially towards someone who has the potential to be a romantic partner. Now, our words infatuation and crush are a bit more nuanced in that they describe the slight mania that we often feel at the beginning of a romantic relationship. This temporary mania isn't unhealthy if it morphs into something deeper and doesn't devolve into unwelcoming attention and stalking. But what English word describes being happy to see someone, even having a slight rush of physical warmth when they arrive, but not feeling eros love toward them? and I welcome your suggestions after the service. If you're interested in learning more, I do have some handouts in Ron Hall, and thank you. I love you all, but I don't want to sleep with any of you.
Love you too, Susan. We give our surplus not out of fear of divine punishment nor for a transaction of prosperity. We give what we can when we can because we do so. When we do so, we build a more just world. To donate via debit or credit card, please use the QR code on the back of the order of service or go to www.uusavannah.org and click the donate button. Mail checks are also welcome. Our offering will now be greatly received. Thank you for your generosity.
Something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most to grow. If we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know I'm who I am today because I knew. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes a sun. Like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, I have been changed. For good. It well may be that we will never meet again in this lifetime. So let me say before we part, so much of me is made of what I learned from you. You'll be with me. Like a handprint on my heart. And now whatever way our stories end, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend. Like a ship long from its mooring, like a wind of the sea, like a sea dropped by a skybird in a distant world. Who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you,
because I knew you,
I have been changed for good. And just to clear the air, I ask forgiveness for the things I've done you blame me for.
But then I guess we know there's blame to share.
And none of it seems to matter anymore. Like a ship off from its mooring, like the wind off the sea. Like a sea dropped by a bird in the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better. I do believe I have been changed for the better.
Because I knew you.
Because I knew you. Because I knew you. I have been changed for good.
We enter a time to share our joys and sorrows with each other. I have
one of those for me, and I didn't put my name.
Oh, yeah, I kind of guessed it was you when you said Bill and I.
And I was kind of busy, so I
thought. Oh, okay. A bit of a joy and sorrow. Bill and I are almost ready to leave for Santa Fe. This will be our last Sunday at church. I am grateful for my 12 years at UUCS and will miss my beloved community. We will miss you too. We have concern from Becca. Please keep Paul Winston in your prayers. He continues to face health issues and welcomes your messages and support. And we have a sorrow from Joyce Peralta. Sadly, Vanessa Martinson Bathfield's stepmother, Anne Marie, died this weekend. She lived on the island of Mauritius, thank you. The place Vanessa was born. Vanessa made the emergency 24-hour journey, arriving before Anne-Marie died. Vanessa's dad has been in ICU with congestive heart failure. Tracy Bathfield, her partner, is on her way to Mauritius now after getting house pets and work responsibilities taken care of. Wishing Tracy and Vanessa peace and safe journeys as they grieve. Susan Daggett shares a joy. I have just returned from 3 weeks in the UK with my sweetheart, Richard. Tomorrow is the fourth anniversary of meeting on a Facebook humor feed. And Christine shares a joy. This week, I got to enjoy the beautiful gifts of the natural world while camping on Cumberland Island and kayaking in Okefenokee, did I get that right? I celebrate and give thanks for this amazing planet we get to call home. Let us hold all our joys and sorrows. Oh, I have a joy. The Knicks won. So, let us hold all our joys and sorrows, spoken and unspoken, in our hearts as we join together in the responsive reading found in your order of service. Sorrow is everywhere. As we mourn together, and offer thanks, so may it be now and in all the days to come. One Love by Reverend Hope Johnson. Words to meditate on. We are one, a diverse group of proudly kindred spirits here, not by coincidence, but because we choose to journey together, learning to love our neighbors, learning to love ourselves, apologizing and forgiving with humility, being forgiven through grace, creating the beloved community together. We are one. First reading is by Kathleen McTeague. In the struggles we choose for ourselves, in the ways we move forward in our lives and bring our world forward with us, it is right to remember the names of those who gave us strength in this choice of living. It is right to name the power of hard lives well lived. We share a history with those lives. We belong to the same motion. They too were drawn on by the vision of what might come to be. those who have lived before us, who struggled for justice and suffered injustice before us, have not melted into the dust and have not disappeared. They are with us still. The lives they lived hold us steady. Their words remind us and call us back to ourselves. Their courage and love evoke our own. We, the living, carry them with us. We are their voices, their hands, and their hearts. We take them with us, and with them choose the deeper path of living. And our second reading is a quote from John Lewis. When you see something that is not right, not fair, not just, you have to speak up. You have to say something. You have to do something. Democracy is not a state. It is an act, and each generation must do its part to help build what we call the beloved community, a nation and world society at peace with itself. Here end the readings. Please join us by standing either in spirit or in body for hymn number 1053, How Could Anyone?
Again. Thank you for having me today. It's always a joy to be in this space. In fact, my choir, Spectre Choir, that you heard about, rehearses every Thursday evening here, and we all agree that there's a special energy in this place. So I'm excited to be back in community with you today, sharing a message this morning. For those of you who haven't heard of Spectre before, like you heard earlier, we are a feminist treble choir dedicated to amplifying underrepresented voices in the repertoire we choose, the causes we support, and the community that we create. Above all, we value the ever-changing, beautifully colorful human voice and spirit. And each of these ever-changing, beautifully colorful humans fall on a myriad of their own spectrums, different points, different scales, different hues, and yet we all come together, differences celebrated, to create something magical, a collection of spectra, if you will. And yes, we are a choir, we do perform, we do make music together, but these beautifully colorful humans that make up the community is the heart of spectra. And I am so incredibly proud of this community. But before I brag on them a little bit more, let's talk about what community is. A community is a group of people connected by shared geography, interests, values, or identity. It fosters a sense of belonging, mutual support, and collaboration, allowing individuals to interact, share resources, and work toward common goals. That's technically the definition of a choir, too. It's a group of people with a common interest, singing, living in the same area together, collaborating to work toward a common goal, making music together. But if there is anything that Spectra has taught me, and it has taught me a lot, it is that community is so much more than that. Being in community with others, similar to music, makes us feel on a deeper level feelings that we might have a hard time putting into words. We might not be able to explain it, but we know it feels good to be with like-minded people. It feels good to feel accepted, and it feels good to belong. Researchers agree that being in community with others not only feels good, but it can actually help people live longer and healthier lives. However, a study done a few years ago found that 50% of adults nowadays are lonely. Jeremy Noble, who teaches a course on loneliness and public health at the Harvard Chan School, started a project called Project Unlonely. This offers programs that use the arts as a public health tool to address social disconnection. Jeremy says, creativity, imagination, and self-expression can help people feel better connected to themselves, to other people, and the bigger human experience. The arts rewire our lonely brains, changing how we make sense of the social world around us. Us choir folks have been saying this for decades. Singing in community with others is life-giving. It's life-changing. It's life-saving. Singing alone engages the full body, mind, heart, and soul. It improves your heart rate and lowers your blood pressure. It activates your vagus nerve, which controls your entire nervous system. It releases endorphins that not only activate the pleasure centers of the brain, but it also helps reduce pain. It promotes a healthy lymphatic system, helping stave off diseases. It's been known to promote better heart health, better lung health, better health. It simultaneously activates the cognitive and emotional parts of the brain, and they even say it helps kids be better at math. And then there's this soul level benefit that researchers really haven't been able to pin. But it's the one that us singers deeply understand. Then when you get all those souls in one room, breathing and singing together, listening intently to one another, for one fleeting moment, you forget the troubles of the world and you just ride the wave of joy and connection. There's no greater feeling in the world, in my humble opinion. Now, the extra special thing about our community is how they show up for one another and lift each other up. I was on a podcast recently, and she asked me if I was afraid of the women becoming stereotypically catty or competitive in a large group setting, to which I replied, not even a little, because that is simply not who we are as women. That is what the patriarchy has told us women are, because if they keep us small and fighting each other, then it keeps us from fighting them. But I digress. That's a whole other message for another day. And spoiler alert, the preview of our theme of our fifth season next year. So allow me to share some of my favorite memories of our community this year. In our fall concert last year, one of the pieces we sang was called Crowded Table by the High Women. And by the way, the High Women is an all-female country supergroup led by Brandi Carlile, if you want to check them out. And the chorus goes a little something like this. You heard of that one? It's a good one. So our singers work hard and sound beautiful on all the music we sing, but you can always tell which ones are their favorite. They sing them a little differently. There's a little different color in their voice. There's a sparkle in their eyes. There's a audible yes when I tell them to pull it out for rehearsal. And Crowded Table was our crowd favorite last fall. So I had an idea for the concert to block the singers in little pods as if they were families around a dinner table and just told them to sing to one another. And like, let's just try that, you know. And during the dress rehearsal, I almost just stopped conducting and stood there and took in the magic that was happening on stage. It was such a beautiful embodied moment. I'm probably going to cry a lot through these memories. Of music and community. And I thought to myself, this is exactly who Spectra is. This is exactly what I envisioned this community being, and how very lucky we are to have one another and to be walking the earth at the same time, making music together. So every week in rehearsal, in the middle of rehearsal, we take a break, and I go to the piano, and I play Chaka Khan's Tell Me Something Good. And exactly. And the singers shout out things that, good things that happened to them over that past week. And so one week we had a particularly big week. We had a singer said, I got into med school, and we're like, yeah, we cheered. And one singer said, I stood up to my boss, and I got a raise. And we're like, yeah, everybody cheered. And one singer said, we're pregnant, and everyone erupted because we knew that her and her wife had been trying for a little while. So a few weeks go by, and unfortunately, we got the news that they lost their baby. We were all devastated for them. And as we were reaching out and asking, how can we help? How can we be there? She just simply asked if I could send her a video of one of our other songs from the fall called Oh, Be Swift to Love. She had sung that song to her son as she said goodbye to him in the hospital. And she wanted to play the full song at the memorial with her family. And a few months later, we brought that song back for our International Women's Day concert in March. And for those of you who have ever been in a choir or performance situation, you know that concert week or show week can be very stressful and very tiring. And we were getting to the end of a very long dress rehearsal. It was like 9 p.m. And we had run out of time and didn't get to run Oh, Be Swift to Love. And so the singer raised her hand and she said, guys, would you mind just staying a few extra minutes and singing through this now because I'm not sure I can keep it together tomorrow at the concert singing it for the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes, of course, right? And everybody was agreed and stayed. So we sang it through, and understandably so, at the end, she got very emotional. And we all got emotional. Another singer that she's pretty close with and I just kind of stood around her and hugged, held her and let her cry and let her wail and get it all out. And we were standing there for about 15, 20 minutes. And so when she calmed down a little bit, I turned around, and the entire choir was out in the congregation just waiting, holding space for her, making sure she was okay. And I was like, that is a core memory that I will never forget. That beautiful, beautiful representation of love and support. Now, on a more personal note, this year has been a very difficult year for me. I went through a divorce, and when we separated in the fall, I had to be out of my house within a week. And I don't know if there are any other folks in the room who are chronically allergic to packing, but that's me. Yep. And I'm also one of those people who is equally chronically allergic to asking for help. So our Spectra members, I host our Friendsgiving every year, and so a couple of the singers cornered me in my kitchen, and they were like, how can we help? We're coming to help. You cannot refuse our help. So each day that week, a different singer showed up with boxes and tape and kind eyes and listening ears and just endless space for me. And not to mention helping me pack all my stuff in my boxes, right? So fast forward several months later, in February of this year, I fell and dislocated my right shoulder, and in doing so, severely injured my radial nerve, which causes me not to be able to use my right hand yet. It's basically the best injury for a pianist and conductor to have. So, you know, don't do anything small, have to do it big. And yet again, this community rallied around me. They made me a meal train. They came and sat with me and sent me cards, cleaned my apartment, drove me to rehearsal. And the list of selflessness and kindness goes on and on and on. And when I set out to start Spectra, the idea was born of wanting to create a safe space where women could come and just be themselves. And we could use music as a vehicle for community and joy. What I didn't know when I created this group was how I was unintentionally creating a space that I needed to. A space that not only lifted me up when I needed it the most, but created room for me to discover exactly who I am and what I want out of this life. They loved me for me, unconditionally, without wanting anything in return. Who made me feel like I am so much more than just someone who plans the music and waves her arms around telling them when to sing. This is more than community. This is love. Every human needs community, whether that's in a choir or on a team or in a beautiful church like this one. I hope you find the glorious sounds of belonging and community, and that it will change your life as much as it has changed mine. Thank you.
Yeah.
we're going to skip the last hymn and go straight to the benediction. And actually, you get to sing a little bit more. I'm going to teach you a little melody, the O Be Swift to Love that I was talking about. I'll sing it first, and then Rebecca and I are going to break it down for you.
Oh, be sweet.
Sing it one more time.
Oh, be sweet to love, and make haste to be kind.
Now I'll sing a little bit, and you sing it back.
Put it all together. We'll sing it twice through. One, two, ready, and oh, be sweet.
This side will start, and this side will come in second with me, okay? Rebecca's going to help this side, and I'm going to help this side. Does this stretch over here so I can do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Go for it. You ready this side? Okay. This side, go for it.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
One, two, take a breath, go.
Oh.